You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on this hour after the 10:30 news for Audio Sorbet today, we're going to be joined by the Acme Packing Company sports guru. Paul Noonan will be here to talk Packers and Bucks.
And Badgers to a lesser extent.
Well, we'll just pretend the Badgers don't exist. Brandon Woodruff also in the news about the Brewers. So Paul Noonan joining us after 10:30. We'll wrap up the show as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing today. Dude, where's my driveway edition? That's all coming up a little bit later on. Wanted to start off with this, though, and we talked yesterday about healthcare. What would you...
Day before about healthcare.
Yes, and it's a big issue. What would you like to see happen? What is the fix for healthcare? 855-752-4842. It's been interesting watching some of the Republicans try to sell folks on getting rid of the ACA and then allowing taxpayers to be in charge of where their money is going to go. So Senator Bill Cassidy,
Senator of Louisiana,
who is a doctor.
A doctor who voted to confirm RFK Jr.
Yes, as our head of Health and Human Services. Senator Cassidy has a great example on how this is going to work if we all get $2,000 from the government to spend on health care. Calvin, can you play that clip from Senator Bill Cassidy, please?
By giving the patient the money herself, though, she becomes a wiser consumer. And just think about it. If she goes and gets two types of shampoo and one's a dollar cheaper, she'll get the cheaper one. And the other one lowers their price. Once you give her the power of having the purse, the power of making the decision, she's going to shop, get the lower price. That begins to save her money and squeeze fat and waste out of the healthcare system. That ultimately translates into lower premiums. This is the first step in lowering healthcare costs. Give the patient the power.
Yeah. It's, and healthcare is just like shampoo. So they're so similar, except choosing my shampoo isn't going to make a difference when I'm about to die.
That's pretty true, actually.
The whole death sickness thing.
I mean, not even dying, just a matter of I've never had to declare bankruptcy because I bought too much Pantene. So
yeah, that's true, too.
But there are three points on that he talks about that are very interesting to me. Is one, that's not how consumer shopping works. It's not how the free market or, you know, prices work. Because when I shop, most of the things I'm trying to buy, I'm trying to stay within a budget. I'll buy off no brand name types of items. I'll shop at the mid to lower part of the aisle because that's where the savings are. Those purchases aren't tracked by those companies. Therefore, they don't make the people on the mid to higher shelf. Like if I buy soup and it just says, you know, chicken noodle soup from Best Value.
Right.
Campbell's doesn't see that and go, well, we got to lower our prices now. But me buying cheaper does not mean they lower their price. That's never how anything works. Period. So that's a fallacy. And two, the power of the purse. I'm glad he brought that up because that's the Congress's job. If we want to talk about money and how to distribute money and how to fund things and get the best bang for the buck for the people, how about we do it through the congressional legislation and making sure they can take care of the money because they're in charge of the purse strings. And if you give me $2,000, I feel like if, Jane, I don't know about you, but if you give any American $2,000 and say, we want you to use it for health insurance versus this is a tax credit or this is money that can only go towards, or you set up an account, like you set up an exchange online and you sign up and there's a $2,000 credit in there, like a subsidy from the government.
Seems like something we have already.
It sounds like something, I've seen this movie before. It's fine. It could be better, but it's fine. If you just give me a check for $2,000, people are going to use it to pay down bills, pay on rent, pay on food, pay for childcare. They might blow it on something they want to do. They might buy a guitar in the middle of the night while watching a documentary on their phone. It's never happened to me. But this this from start to finish, his words make no sense whatsoever. And it shows how out of touch he is with the American people and just the shopping process.
Well, for a man who's a doctor, you would think he would be a little more familiar with how our healthcare system actually works.
Yeah.
And the other thing, she is already shopping and comparing when she goes to the marketplace and she selects a plan. So that's already happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like if I'm in a car accident and I need emergency surgery, I'm not going to be calling around for where I'm going to get the best deal.
No. Well, unfortunately, in this country, if you get into a car accident, they almost expect you to call around to see who's in network. That's your first worry.
Can you just bleed slower? Would you mind?
The thing we asked the question last week, what would you do? And I think overwhelmingly most people said they would like some form of single payer public option, something akin to we see in other developed nations around the world. But just how about you start here? Instead of saying, I'm going to shove $2,000 in your hand, go. Why don't you hold town halls and actually talk to the people, get their input, do studies, do long-term planning, and then maybe take all that in consideration, pass a bill through the Congress on how to spend the money because they do hold the power of the purse, and then actually try to make a change. I am never going to say the ACA is perfect, leave it alone, don't ever change it, but you don't have to get rid of it. You could make it better.
They could make it better. Yeah. Ronnie from Horicon texting in, listening on WAUK. Whoopee, a check for $2,000 is $166 per month. That's not going to go very far.
Mm-hmm.
And while we're on the topic of this $2,000, and Jack and Jean, we'll take you just a second. I see you on the phone there. Scott Neck Brace Besant was asked about this $2,000 check and whether or not this is going to goose and heat up inflation. Because that was the whole criticism against the Biden administration during COVID when those stimulus checks were sent out. All it did was heat up inflation. Well, the answer to this, according to our head of the Treasury, is, well, maybe people won't spend it and they'll save it. What?
No.
The whole point of these $2,000 checks, I thought, because that's what you've said out loud, was for us to take control of our health care. And now Scott Besant is saying, well, hopefully people will just save it, and that way it won't heat up inflation.
Well,
does anyone in this administration talk to other people in the administration so they can at least get their talking points the same?
Well, also, we shouldn't be talking to the Treasury Secretary about health care. We shouldn't be talking to a lot of people in the White House about health. We should be talking to the HHS, to maybe senators on committee, Congress people on committee, hearing from the press secretary putting forth the president's ideas on this. But it seems like hey, ag secretary, do you want to talk about construction?
You go.
But I will do this. I will give Scott Besant some credit, because we spoke about him earlier this week with his thoughts on beef prices.
Yes.
At least he didn't say this is all because undocumented people are bringing illegal checks into the country.
That's true.
They're bringing illegal cash.
They are bringing illegal cows.
They're bringing in illegal cows, but they're not bringing in illegal insurance contracts. So
good to know.
But yeah, I think you're absolutely right, though. It's not a matter of who is the most qualified person in this administration to speak on these things. It is who's available, who's not at lunch right now.
Yeah.
Get on CNN and talk and let the chips fall where they may and how stupid you look.
That actually would make sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like we need somebody.
Yep.
That CNN is calling. They want someone to talk on X. You're here. You go. That at least would explain why they can't get on the same page, it seems, about anything.
Yeah.
Michael in Pleasant Prairie listening on WAUK. They're not interested in what consumers think about health care. They only care about what their political donors, i.e. the insurance industry, wants. Yeah, and now all the Republicans are coming out about those evil, bad, bloated, rich insurance companies.
Yeah.
What? I've never heard any of you say anything before about bad insurance companies.
Yeah.
Really?
That makes me think there was a meeting that happened sometime this past month where they said, hey, look, guys, we're going to throw some lobs at you. Just take them. It's fine. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Here's what you say. 855-752-4842. Jack from Merrimack is joining us. Good morning, Jack. What do you want to say about this?
Good morning. Well, I got three things to say about that. Thing number one, Jen, I agree 100% with you. You get into an accident or you have an appendicitis attack or a heart attack, you're not going to call around to the hospital and say, dude, how much would you charge to treat me for this? First of all, they don't even know exactly what your problem is.
Right.
Okay, so secondly, $2,000. I'm on Medicare. And Medicare supplement policies that I've looked at that are decent, I'm not talking about the ones where, you know, you are so-called Medicare
advantage. With an advantage, yeah. Like mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but the Medicare disadvantage is what I call them. Anyway, those cost somewhere $400, $600 a month. I don't think $2,000 is going to quite cover it. And finally, there is an answer to this. You start weaning the insurance companies off of the medical insurance, and what you do is you take that money and you put it into Medicare, which has about a 2% administrative cost as opposed to close to 20% with the insurance companies. That'll give you something around 18% more dollars to work with. You then expand Medicare downward, which actually, since you're going to do that, you're going to get younger and healthier people. That's going to cause increased savings on Medicare, and those savings then get plowed back into Medicare. And I'm not saying this would be instantaneous,
right?
Because the insurance companies really will need some time to adapt to this, but they'll still sell, you know, high-end policies for really fancy hospital stays and elective stuff. Anyway, you keep on doing this. We pay twice as much per person as any place else in the world for our medical costs. And if you can even get that down to 1.5 times as much, I'm willing to bet that there'd be enough money to actually cover every single American.
They've run these numbers before, and it's really a wonder when you say, thank you so much for calling.
Thanks a lot, Jack. You make so much sense. That's why they'll never listen to you.
Yeah, it's their whole thing was finding the waste, fraud, and abuse in the government. The fact that there is actually, consistency and low cost in the government, they would never admit to that. They would never do it. They want you to believe that government would ruin everything, when in fact, it runs smoother than you would like to believe. Just ask some of the former Doge employees.
Oh, yeah. Call Big Balls. He's available. Oh. When we return, Fox is really spinning grocery prices in a unique and unusual way.
Yeah.
We'll kick that around next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, our resident young person, Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Before the break, we were talking about healthcare. A couple of conflicting messages coming out of the Trump administration. On the one hand, they're going to send us all $2,000 to buy healthcare because it's just like shopping for shampoo. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, you should save it so it doesn't goose inflation. Yeah, we should take that $2,000 and just bank it. So that doesn't happen. So, yeah, we're not quite sure what's going on with that. Gene from Eau Claire has been waiting very patiently on the phone. Good morning, Gene. What did you want to say?
Well, first of all, thank you guys for the outstanding public service that you give to us and all of you and Calvin, too. You know, the biggest threat, the biggest and overwhelming threat to Americans was what they're doing. And if they mess with the ACA, it eliminates the largest hurtful thing for Americans' health. this return of the pre-existing conditions.
Yeah.
That was what threw forward. You know, they pushed forward the ACA because so many, they stub their toe or they have something, they forget to put on their insurance, you know, that you had this condition or you went to the hospital at this time or whatever. They wouldn't pay their bills and they refused to pay the bills. So this is significant, folks. This is unbelievable. We've got to fight for your health care. Thank you, guys. Have a great day and keep up the great work.
Thanks a lot, Jean. Appreciate it. Yeah, again, the ACA is not perfect. It's not.
Yeah.
But going back to pre-ACA was also not perfect. And the fact that the Republicans now are coming out and saying, well, this is terrible. We need to get rid of it. We're at the same place we were when they tried to repeal it. And they had no replacement 15 years ago.
Do you know what this is, Jane? I'm not kidding you. What's happening in front of us? So there's the ACA. They've tried to repeal it 100 times. I looked it up on a website.
100 times.
And they told us in 2024 at the debate, he said they have concepts of a plan. These are their concepts. They're not sketched out. They haven't been run in a room. They haven't been tested for language.
No.
They haven't done the things they need to do before they roll out a huge announcement. They're just throwing out concepts of a plan and seeing what works. And I think as long as the Epstein files aren't in my hand or the budget is not reversed to benefit the people, they're going to keep throwing out these concepts, and we'll keep talking about them, and then we'll move on to something else, because that's what they're trying to do. It's all about that distraction.
Yeah. We want to spend a little time about this. It was not, it was just a couple of weeks ago, I could swear. A couple of weeks ago.
What's that, time?
That Fox, little reminder, the network that was fined almost $1 billion for lying to its listeners and telling them that Trump won the 2020 election, that they got fined for that lie. Almost $1 billion. But Fox, just a couple of weeks ago, was all excited because hamburger helper usage is on the rise. Now, they had a guest on recently on Fox. Money's tight. But don't worry, it's all good. All you have to do now are buy fewer gifts. Listen to this guest on Fox explaining how to head into the holidays. Calvin, can we play that clip, please?
Budget, budget, budget. You need a plan. Also, remember, adults don't need gifts, okay? Focus on the people in your life who are age 3 to 18. Grandma doesn't need slippers.
Yeah.
If they don't live by you, don't get them a gift. Now's not the time to spend and break the bank sending packages across the country, Dana. Focus on the people in your life, ages 3 to 18. That's my 30 seconds for you.
Why should I focus on them? The government won't.
Well, first of all, I kind of agree with her, actually. At a certain point, I don't need more stuff. The last thing I need is more stuff.
Hey, you and her, be quiet.
But
I like presents.
I love how they're just trying to spin. Like on the one hand, the economy is great. If you watch Fox,
yeah,
everything is down. Prices are down. Groceries are down. Maybe not in real life, but in their heads. But yet, at the same time, there's no money to buy gifts. So, you know, you got to tighten your belt.
I do agree with one thing though. You don't need to buy babies gifts. Like, yeah.
Infants?
Yeah, you don't need to, like, give them a box. They love it.
Actually, you're probably right.
That's an audio sorbet. Who gets presents? I'll tell you one group who doesn't get presents. Babies. They've had it too good for too long.
Well, and let's not forget, it wasn't that long ago that our president, the president of the United States, had a comment about dolls. Calvin, do we have that clip, please? Let's play that clip.
You know, somebody said, oh, the shelves are going to be open. Well, maybe the children will have two dolls instead of 30 dolls, you know? And maybe the two dolls will cost a couple of bucks more than they would normally.
Maybe now she'll just have half a doll.
So
just give her the head.
So you buy less dolls, but the dolls you do buy are going to be more expensive, but there you go. And also, I take issue with what the lady from Fox said before. Stay out of my business. We're already budgeting. We have been for some time now. And I'll buy whomever I want presents and send it. That's what Amazon's for.
Well, talk to Grandma and ask her if she wants something. And if she needs something, maybe you could actually do that for Grandma.
I got to go to the cemetery then. I'll be back a little bit later.
We have news.
He's screaming at the ground again.
Coming up next. And when we return from the news, Paul Noonan will be here from the Acme Packing Company to talk all things sports. So stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
I'm gonna teach those boys a lesson soon. And some kid in that handicap was complaining that it caught the clap from some mousetrap he bought last night. Well, I unsnapped the skull cap between his ears. I saw a gap and figured he'd be all right. He was divided by the light. Cut loose like a goose, another runner in the night. Blinded by the light. Mama always told me not to look into the sights of the sun.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. Good morning, live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every other Thursday to talk all things sports. He is the Acme Packing Company's sports guru. Paul Noonan is here. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Well, we squeaked out a win.
We squeaked out a win.
Woof.
So I agree with the woof. I do. I am on board with the woof. However, I watched this game again, and it was not as bad as you might think.
It was less horrible.
It was less horrible. So let's start with what was bad, which is important. The Packer wide receivers and tight ends could not catch the ball. And I think this gets to the heart of why it wasn't that bad also. So this is a problem for Packer receivers generally. Last season, Dontayvion Wicks led the NFL in drop passes. Jaden Reed was third. He's not playing right now, but when he comes back, he will not help this problem. I saw Jordan Love take a lot of heat over this game. And Malik Willis came in briefly. Jordan Love hurt his shoulder briefly. Malik is a great backup quarterback. He played brilliantly for three snaps, had a big run through a touchdown pass. Love came back in. But the important thing I think to realize is those drop passes really did a number on Jordan Love's overall numbers. There were six drop passes in this game. With the drop passes, his raw stats, he completed just 54% of his passes. He was like 13 of 24. If you give him those drops, which may seem like cheating, but those are on the receiver. They were thrown to the right place. They hit people in the hands. You're supposed to catch those balls. He's 19 of 24. His yardage goes up by 92 yards before
Wow.
you even factor what receivers may have run for after they caught it. That day suddenly starts to look a lot better. Now, I write for a place called Acme Packing Company. If you want to accuse me of being a homer in this analysis, I understand that. The website Pro Football Focus, partially owned by Chris Collinsworth, does scouting grades on every NFL player every week, has no affiliation with the Packers or any other team. They gave Jordan Love the highest grade he has ever gotten in his career in this game.
Wow.
The fact is, he was under quite a bit of pressure. Those drops were serious drops. Those balls were thrown accurately. They hit receivers in the hands. They should have been caught. And he actually played pretty brilliantly, if you place the blame where it belongs, on Romeo Dobbs, on Josh Weil for one of those, on John Fitzpatrick for one of those, on Matthew Golden for one. So Love actually had one of his better games of the season. It's just that another thing went wrong. So, what are you going
to
do?
Well, that happens to me all the time when I'm in the park playing football, like I do. I throw the ball perfectly to anywhere and no one is there to catch it, so it's not my fault. This is something that you and J.R. Ratcliffe and I've heard other people here at Civic Media talk about, is that this, I don't want to say non-belief in Jordan Love's skills, but it's been very much a pass game for this season and it hasn't worked well. But when you put the ball in his hand and you allow him to throw it down the field, he can do the
he
work.
He can get it there.
It's
yeah.
then about working with the receivers. That's the whole other conversation, which is like any other team in the NFL. But it's about allowing him to shine with what he does really well and maybe lay back on the running game, which, by the way, I mean, you'll know this better than I will. They have to be aware of now that the other teams watching the tapes every week, knowing that, A, we're going to run the ball more often than not, and, two, we're not going to run it real well.
Right. The offensive line is not good at it this year. And the other reason I'm happy with this game is actually kind of related to that. So Josh Jacobs did get hurt partway through this game in the second quarter. He has a knee contusion. The Giants stadium is like playing on concrete. People get concussed there quite often. When that happens, I expect Matt LaFleur just to plug in Emmanuel Wilson and maybe Chris Brooks and still run another 30 times or, 25 times. And he didn't do that. He actually did shift to the passing game. And, the drops happened, but they also got rid of a lot of those short passes that kept blowing up in their face last week. Of Jordan Love's 24 throws, 14 of them were 10 or more yards down the field. And that's kind of what I want to see from him. He's actually a really good deep passer, especially intermediate deep passer. It was a really clever game plan once they lost their ability to run. I like that they recognized that they weren't going to be able to run, something they do not always do. And shifted to something they are good at, even though the Giants are bad at run defense. It's just we're worse at running right now. But normally you wouldn't beat them through the air, but they kind of had to. They had to do what they were good at, and it was an ugly game. It was a bit disjointed, but strategically it was good. And I hate saying if they can clean up some of the drops because it's been a year and a half now and they haven't cleaned up any of the drops. But if the guys start to hang on to the ball a little bit better, they'll actually turn this into something. And part of that is like Christian Watson, he caught four of his five targets. He was great. More Watson targets, please do that. And honestly, more Golden targets. He actually has had the best hand stats on the team this year. He did have a drop in this game, as everybody seemingly did, including the defense, by the way. The Packer defensive backs in this game dropped at least four interceptions. The Giants quarterback in this game was Jameis Winston, who is if he's famous for anything, it's famous for throwing interceptions. Last time he was a regular starter, he threw 30 interceptions to lead the league.
Wow.
I believe he led the league by nine, a lot. So he gave them a lot of chances. They only got one. It was an important one. Evan Williams got it at the end. But all in all, people dropped 11 balls that hit them in the hands in this game on the Packers.
So, oh my God.
Hopefully, going forward, that will kind of even out a little bit.
If you are just joining us on Matt Nair on Air, the Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan is our guest to talk all things sports. We're talking about the Packers and their win this past weekend. The one thing question I have, though, JR, is remember this from when I'm sorry, Paul. Paul from when
JR and I get that a lot.
I apologize.
It's bald people with facial hair.
From when they won the Super Bowl in the 90s, was defense wins Super Bowls? Is the defense wins Super Bowls? So how is our defense? Obviously, from what you just said about those guys dropping some interceptions, they're not quite so hot either.
I think there's actually a reason for optimism here. They have. First of all, they've been good. Last year, they were really good. They finished as like the seventh best defense in football last year. They've been down a little bit this year. They're like 10th, but they've had a couple of weird injuries. Honestly, one of the only reasons this game looked as ugly as it did is Quay Walker got hurt. And give the Giants coaching staff a little bit of credit. They're brand new, by the way. The Giants fired their coach the week before we played them. Brian Daboll is gone.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know who is replacing it. Oh, no, it's Mike Kafka. He used to be a quarterback at Northwestern. Anyway, when Quay Walker went out, Isaiah McDuffie comes in. Isaiah McDuffie is a run stopper, not a pass defender. In fact, he very awkwardly broke up an interception that Javon Bullard should have had. But the Giants targeted him. And so it worked really, really well. They need to fix that. And they'll be able to fix it with a week off. But this defense is still like a top 10 defense right now, despite quite a few fairly important injuries, especially like Devontae Wyatt up front missed a bunch of games. They don't have good backups for him. And the most important one is actually Lucas Van Ness. So the reason he's important is Rashawn Gary. I won't slander him too much, but let's just say this. He may have a little bit of an in-shape problem, which Matt LaFleur was asked about this week. And the reason we say that is Micah Parsons on the other side of the field, who is very, very good. He plays about 61 to 65 snaps a game. That's almost all of them. Rashawn Gary plays more like 35 to 40 snaps a game. He gets a lot of time off. And that seems to be because he can't stay out on the field and not get exhausted. He should fix that, but he's not going to fix it this year. So Lucas Van Ness needs to be in there. He is very high motor, and he's a much better run defender. The run defender thing, very important for the Packers. They don't have another good run defender, honestly. But if they're fully healthy, their secondary has actually been very good, especially since they benched Nate Hobbs for Carrington Valentine. He's been hurt too. But the pieces are all in place. And unlike the offense, when the offense has had something go wrong, in this week notwithstanding, they've kind of gone to pieces a little bit, but the defense hasn't. The defense has maintained at least a level of credibility. They've been average or better throughout their injury issues. If they get healthy, they'll start to be, I think, really good. And if Van Ness gets back out there, I think you'll see Micah Parsons start to rack up those 2 and 3 sack games again. By the way, he had 1.5 this week. He showed up. He's been showing up every week. So I like this defense. They have, in the past, Packer defenses have been like the 20th, 25th under the last regime. The floor is really high with this defense. The floor here is like average, and the ceiling is like top five. They just got to get to that ceiling.
I'm just trying to understand a world, Paul, where the Bears are number one in the division. I mean, that's just,
you can ignore that.
Not by much. Well, I mean, they're playing well. They've won the last three games. They're not. I mean, they're number one. We are not. But it's just a very weird place to live, where where Bears fans have to sit there going, "Is this real?"
So before we tear down the Bears, we should give the Bears a little bit of credit. Ben Johnson is a very good head coach. They are at least run very well. The Bears don't really make stupid mistakes anymore, like we're kind of used to the Bears making. All of that said, this is pretty Pyrrhic, pretty fool's goldy. NFL games that are within one score, 7 points, not eight, 7 points or less. They tend to be coin flips. If you look at them over the long haul of the league, you cannot predict that a team is good at winning close games. It kind of doesn't exist. So every year we do this exercise where about this time of year, we flip all the one score games to see how the standings would look. And if you flip all the Bears one score games, they're like the fifth worst team in the league. And if you want to put a little more rigor to that, one of the best advanced statistics we have in football, it's called DVOA, stands for Defense Adjusted Value Over Average, was invented 25 years ago.
You are just a bunch of nerds.
We are just a bunch of nerds. But DVOA is a very good predictor of actually good teams. The Super Bowl winner tends to be a top four DVOA team. It actually tends to be a top two. The Bears are 25th in DVOA, despite being in first place in the division. Basically, they've gotten lucky in a lot of close games. They got lucky last week against the Vikings. The Vikings were winning that game with 50 seconds left, and the Bears got a 56-yard kickoff return that put them in field goal range. If the Vikings kick the ball out of bounds, they win. So that's the Bears in a nutshell. Kudos to them for winning all these games, and they're going to get their best defensive player back sometime in the next couple weeks, and maybe that will turn them into an actual good team. But right now, they're not. They're a fake good team that will get blown up by good team.
As my mother would say, were she still here, good for you, boys. Don't let it go to your head.
Exactly. I don't think they were. I think Paul was like, I'm not going to allow it to go to your head, and I'm going to bring stats and spreadsheets to prove it.
We don't have a lot of time. Speaking of the Vikings, that's who we face next.
Yep. A team that is good at everything except quarterbacking. They drafted J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan 2 years ago. He missed last season because he got hurt. They had Sam Darnold as their quarterback last year. I think the consensus at the time was that they made Sam Darnold into a good quarterback through clever scheming, through having awesome receivers like Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. Turns out Sam Darnold's actually good when he's not on the Jets, which is true of a lot of quarterbacks, as it turns out. Sam Darnold is now in Seattle. He has been one of the two best quarterbacks in football. And J.J. McCarthy, who we get to face, has been one of the worst. He is the worst quarterback in the league in terms of accurately throwing balls. Not just guys catching it, but like on target, not 10 feet over their heads. Guys got to catch the ball next week because J.J. is going to throw it to him. Hopefully we get it done.
Follow Paul Noonan, the Acme Packing Company sports guru. He joins us every other Thursday to talk all things sports. Thank you so much, Paul. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
See you later.
Thanks. You guys too.
When we return, we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Dude, where's my driveway edition? You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the world on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvi Tini on the board. Coming to you from our home at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Hey, next Thursday, a week from today, is Thanksgiving.
Thank God.
And we are going to be here.
I'm sorry, what?
You and I and Calvin.
Since when?
Remember we had a meeting last week? We talked about this?
I was checking.
You were not paying attention?
I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, we are. We're doing a live show next Thursday, Thanksgiving.
Awesome.
From 9 to 11.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's going to be fun.
I have to make my flight plans change now. Oh, my goodness. Who's going to take care of my dog? Oh,
you're
my
taking
goodness.
Them by surprise by this? No, we're going to be here next Thursday. So as you were in the kitchen getting ready, I hope you will join us. We'll be a little background with you as you prepare your Thanksgiving feast.
A little more fun show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll do a little news, but certainly hour number two, we will keep things light for
Thanksgiving. I would say let's keep light the first hour, too. It's Thanksgiving. Have some fun.
News is still news.
I know, but also, just so people know as well, Black Friday will be a pre-recorded. It'll be brand new show.
All new content.
But it is pre-recorded. We will not be taking callers and whatnot, but we're going to have great discussions with Main Street Alliance, and we're going to be we're talking to Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau with covering some of the top 12 scams of Christmas.
There's lots of them.
And an amazing discussion we're going to be talking about Terry Barr with another Slice of Wisconsin. So it's going to be a really fun show on Black Friday.
But anyway, yes, join us next Thursday as you are prepping for Thanksgiving. We will be here with you, Calvin and Greg and I, from 9 to 11 for Thanksgiving Day. Right now, it is 10:54. Calvin, that means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever find a thing you think this should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays. janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin found this one from Local 3 News. Who's got the byline? Nobody. Headline reads, stolen driveway leaves woman on rocky road as she tries to figure out who did it. Oh, this is from Sierra Rucker. She has the byline.
There we go.
This might sound like something out of a sitcom. A local woman has concrete evidence proving otherwise. A local realtor named Paige bought a home last year to flip and resell. Over the summer, she put it up for sale. On Friday, potential buyers and their agent called this real estate agent to tell her a little something was missing. Quote, I had a call Saturday morning. She said, hey, we're thinking about putting in an offer. What are you going to do about the driveway? And I said, well, the driveway did have a couple of cracks in it, but we're not planning on redoing it. And she said, well, maybe we're at the wrong house. Apparently, at least three vehicles were at that home earlier Friday. A truck with a trailer, a dump truck with a backhoe, and a King cab truck with a backhoe. The trucks were there from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. and dug up her driveway.
What?
I actually called the non-emergency number. I said, I don't even know what's going on. What's happening? Everyone's in shock. Some people thought it was AI. The picture wasn't even real. No, it's real. We spoke to several neighbors in the area. Many assumed that the homeowner had hired them to bulldoze her driveway.
Yeah.
No, she didn't. Neighbor April says, I was taking my kids to the bus and I saw them taking up the driveway and I thought they were just replacing it for the homeowner. Cop came by and said, yeah, no, someone stole her driveway. Now she believes workers just had the wrong address. If they don't come forward, it's going to cost her $12,000.
Oh, man. I didn't even, like, But the problem was that we were supposed to come to 29, but it says 26 here. I thought it just fell. Oh, no.
Yeah, details.
Oh,
details,
my gosh. I mean,
details.
Like, yeah, because you can't, like, replace. You can't just bring back the pieces. That's all rubble and
yes,
little tiny stones now.
She said, I'm not trying to accuse anybody or anything, but hopefully someone will come forward and go, yeah, oopsie, we made a mistake.
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll own up to it and we can get a new driveway and a porch. Oh, they took out the porch, too.
My goodness.
Without having to pay out all the money. Double check the address.
I think. I'm going to go home every day thinking, is there going to be a driveway?
Is my driveway gone?
Yeah. My gosh.
Yeah, that definitely. No, it shouldn't.
That should not be a thing.
No, it should
not.
Not at all. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Dan Schaefer will be here with us tomorrow, Civic Media's political editor and creator of the Recombobulation Area. So join us for that. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic, because without you, nothing works.
Yeah.
And thank you most of all for calling and texting and watching on the stream and for listening. It actually means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We have news coming up next, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great day. We will see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.